Well, Cube, you've been on tour for the past month. How has the response to the new album, Laugh Now, Cry Later, been? You toured together with it, Daz and Corrupt. How did that happen? Did y'all record anything while on the road other than the It's All Hood from Cali Is Active? We know Q for the strong voice. You always been a strong voice. Right. And, speaking of Cali Is Active, you were at the video shoot. What kind of feeling was that to have all those artists in one spot at the same time? Was it all mutual respect at the shoot, or was it any animosity between cats? Definitely, man. And how you feeling the independent route? I mean, how has the promotion been for the new record?
I'm loving it. You know, I feel like, hold on, man.
All right.
Really pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, you still... You
have a lot of artists who come out with major push, with more dollars spent than we've spent, and they still haven't got the response that we've got, so...
I mean, you still managed to push strong first week sales, and what do you think made the difference that made people go out and purchase Laugh Now, Cry Later?
You know, my history got something to do with it. People just, you know, really been waiting for a record from me. You know, that has a little to do with it. Me going around the country and pushing the record. You know, we pushed the record 8 months.
Right.
Which is unheard of right now.
But you still managed to put a date, and you dropped on that date. That's very, very rare these days.
Yeah, you know, we was committed to drop on that date. We was committed. We had a plan that everything would kind of go to a crescendo on this date, you know. And we don't have a lot of people working for the company. It's just a few people, but everybody's smart. With the help of, you know, people like Tony Draper of Suave House, who's an independent master. That's the only thing he's done his whole life is the independent guy. You know, he's never went to a major. So, you know, having him on the team was an asset. A management team, the firm, working with people like Mike Capaldi over there. You know, very smart people who know who to get. And, you know, you got these majors sitting over here with all these, you know, people on the payroll. And you know, we got it done. In a lot of instances where they haven't this year.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you reach out to producers for the album, or did you get many submissions when the word was out that you were doing a record?
I didn't really put the word out, you know. I just did it. Because I wanted it to be organic, man. I wanted everything to feel right. So people kind of found out. And I got a call from Swiss Beats. Lil Jon is, you know, his beats are the one that kind of sparked me into doing this record. I had worked with him on Crump Juice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when people heard that, they knew you were back when they heard the energy you had.
Yeah, you know, I felt good about that record. And working with somebody that's kind of at the top of the game as a producer always brings out the best in any MC. So... working on that, he slid me some beats, and I just kind of never listened to him, just put them up. And then one day I was on vacation, and I was bored, so I just pulled out his beats and started listening to him. And there was some fire on there. I was like, oh, okay. Start writing. You know, I feel like writing. So I just started writing. And I was just dedicated from day one that I'm going to just do this record for my fans, you know. I ain't going to try to play this music business game and try to do a hit or try to, you know, worry about sales and sound scan and spins and charts and A&R and market share. And, you know, I'm like, fuck all that. Let me just worry about not hip-hop fans, not even hip-hop fans, Ice Cube fans. Let me just start there and do a record for them.
Yeah, man. I mean,
that's where I kept my head the whole time.
Yeah, you kept it straight gutter, basically, with it. And a lot of people were surprised that, and you know, in a time where hip-hop, you know, was so washed up, you could say, that you came, you know, with the authentic shit.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. You know, because if you do your job, all that other stuff will come.
Right.
But hip-hop should come from the heart, man. People doing hip-hop with too many ulterior motives in their head. And, you know, hip-hop is turned corporate. And that's whack, you know. You look around and nobody who's a historian of hip-hop is running hip-hop right now.
Right.
It's a bunch of, you know, dudes out of marketing school and shit, so...
Yeah, man.
But you know, I just wanted to just come from the heart, man, and just keep it there, and let the chips fall where they may, and you know, people.
Yep. Is the Butter the same one that did a lot on Bow Down?
Yeah, he's the same cat.
I hadn't heard from him in a long time. It was great to see him back on the team.
Yeah, you know, I always work with a different array of producers, man, and it really boils down to who got the beats that fit the material. And, you know, because sometimes I write without beats, and I have to fit the beats to the rhymes instead of, you know, and then sometimes I get the beat, then write the beat, write the rhyme to that particular beat. So, you know, the music business, man, sometimes turn dudes inside out, and if they can land on their feet, you know what I mean, they still figure out how to make money, but sometimes, you know, dudes be out of pocket for a few years, trying to wrap their head around what this business is all about.
Right. I mean, yeah, you had a lot of, you know, big-name producers and up-and-coming producers on there. I mean, I can't believe that Butters and the platinum producer, like, still, after he did that Bow Down, I mean, the shit he had on there was vicious, so I was kind of surprised that he didn't really blow up like that.
Well, you know, he's not a self-promoter, you know what I mean?
Right.
So sometimes when you're not a real big-time self-promoter, you know, if people don't buy you, you know what I mean? Kind of in your own world. So, I love Butter Production. You know, I think he's unique, and, you know, it's always quality. You know what I mean? It's never, you know, sometimes dudes can give you beats and it sound like demos. You know, his beats always sound like records.
Right. I mean, you were producing a lot, too. You still into producing?
as far as doing beats, I don't do beats as much as I used to, just because I felt like, you know, I should let the pros do what they do, and, you know, I should MC and worry about the lyrics, you know.
Right.
You spray yourself too thin, and shit is not as hot, you know.
Right. You re-recorded an old Cocaine record called Auspic Policies. Why did you decide to redo that one? How was it being in the studio with Cocaine and Dub C doing that track?
It's always cool being in the studio with them cats, man. You know, I don't know Cocaine as much as I know Dub, but, you know, people who are really talented and kind of do it their way, you know what I mean? I like that. I like people who haven't conformed just because they haven't turned into platinum-selling artists.
Right.
I like the energy that comes from dudes who are just happy with the talent and the fan base that they have.
Right.
Not reaching all the time, so it's always good.
How was it getting back into the studio, banging out a new solo? I mean, it had been quite a few years.
It was fun, but, you know, I ain't never too far from the studio anyway. You know, we did West Side Connection album. And then we did, you know, I did the Crock Juice shit, and I did a couple songs for Triple X, and, you know, so I was always in the studio, back and forth, but to work on the album, it felt good to push the movies aside just to do this record.
what sparked the conversation in a lot of places, they were like, Ice Cube is saying, fuck a Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I don't believe in Ghost Riders. Never used a Ghost Rider day in my life for no lyric whatsoever.
Right. Okay.
The only person who's ever helped me with a rhyme is my cousin Dale, way back in the day. And, acting at Dub C.
Right.
And while we was working on the West Side Connection record, we went through a line or two, but the purpose of being a rapper and having a ghostwriter, that shit just don't match.
Right. I mean, I'm
I guess playing football, and you're a receiver, but somebody else catch for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, I ain't never used no ghostwriter. It's like, come on, man.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about your label, Lynch Mob Records. Are you planning on releasing more acts through that? I know Dub C is coming out.
Just Dub C, me and Dub C.
Oh, it's only going to be you and Dub?
Yeah. You know, it's time for us to really look out for each other. I mean, we've been in the game a long time, and we ain't got the time to focus on no other groups. So what we're going to do is make sure that we stay active. We put out records consistently, and then see what happens after that. But
when can we?
I did my share of putting groups out. It's the other dude's turns. You know what I mean?
Right. And when can we expect the FC's Guilty by Affiliation record?
And you know, we just now really getting our feet wet with it. So I don't want to put a date on it, but it's going to be, it'd be spring next year.
Okay. And,
we ain't just going to throw no record together.
Right. I mean, his last effort didn't really work out the way he hoped to, you know, with Def Jam.
Yeah, man. You know, Def Jam is a New York company. You know what I mean? We LA based, and kind of that's where that probably, you know, fell apart at.
Okay. And what producers y'all going for this time around for Dub's record?
Whoever hot, man.
Okay, it ain't fixed yet?
Nah, whoever hot. You know, people been giving us beats. We gonna shift to them, figure which ones are dope enough to make Dub C songs out of them, and those are the producers we're gonna use. And, playing, I don't never like playing it out like that. It's however it flows. However it flows, that's the way it should go.
Right. I mean, he never really got his fair share, man.
Nah. You know, that's why I want to try to get it to him this go around.
Right.
Make sure the record is produced, you know, all the way right, and then put out all the way right. And definitely walk away with some money. And that's what it's all about.
Yep. And, for years, you and Mac 10 seemed like close friends, and you were together a lot and performed together. And this question hasn't been answered yet, man, so we're hoping you can shed some light on that. What happened?
I ain't really into snitching, but, you know, I'll tell you that, you know, it's a family matter. And, we'll work it out one day.
Okay, I heard a little something. I don't know if that was a true story, you know, about your wife was somebody from Mac 10's group was your wife's brother or something like that, and there was a problem with that. Is that what happened?
It was a beef, and
Okay.
People got out of line. Can't get out of line. Everybody got to stay in line. Get out of line. You know what I mean? That's all I can say.
Okay, so there's no more West Side Connection?
Oh, yeah, there's a West Side Connection.
But it's not with Mac 10 no more?
As of now, Mac 10 is not part of the West Side Connection.
Okay, but do you think there's any chance of you working the differences out and getting back with Mac 10 in the future sometime?
Oh, yeah, there's always a chance.
Right. And another artist we used to see you around a lot was Mr. Short Chop. He had a banging record, but disappeared after that. Do you still talk to him?
I'm doing Short Chop. Short Chop chose to go with other cats called Owner Hell.
Okay, I mean, shit, I mean, you two did some good shit together, so, but, that's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, so, a lot of people can't keep up with me, man, and if you can't keep up, then, you know what I mean, I can't drag you, you know what I mean?
Right. I know you have problems with, you know, Shorty from the Lynch Mob. Has that anything, you know, evolved there?
That's old news, man. You know what I mean?
You don't fuck with them dudes anymore?
I ain't got no problem with nobody in the Lynch Mob. Never did.
Right. Do you keep in touch with JD? When you had announced a few years ago that your new album would be coming out through Aftermath Records, it quickly became one of the most anticipated records. What really went down there?
We couldn't make a deal.
What did that mean?
That mean, I was up for too much and they was willing to give up too little.
So it was a money issue?
Oh, yeah.
No, okay. Okay, because
every businessman should have a bottom line. I got a bottom line. Dre got a bottom line. And when two bottom lines don't meet, you can't make a deal.
Right.
I'm fine with that. That's cool. Okay. I mean, that happens all the time, every day.
Okay, that was the question because, you know, somebody like Rakim who left Aftermath, he said it was because of musical differences. But with you, it wasn't about the music? With Rakim?
Oh, with Rakim.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I said with Rakim it was musical differences, but with you it was different, huh?
With me it was different. I mean it was a contract, you know what I mean?
Right. Man, that's too bad, man. You know, people waiting for you and Dre to hook back up, man.
Yeah, it is.
Have you talked a lot of collaboration maybe for Detox? Okay. Right. And DJ Crazy Tunes has one of the hottest mixtapes on the streets right now. You did a mixtape with DJ Warrior too. How do you view the mixtape game right now?
It's alright, you know. It's jacking for beats on steroids, you know.
A lot of people waste all their good raps on mixtapes and then they run out of shit to talk about on their record.
Yeah, man, I mean, to me it's crazy. I'd rather build a fan base and drop records consistently. They should just drop a record every year. Don't worry about it, you know, but that's part of the game.
Right.
I play it a little bit, but I ain't going.
Right.
I
mean, Tunes told me he felt like a lot of people are releasing demos and unfinished albums, labeling them mixtapes because they can't get a deal. What do you think of that?
Yeah. That's true, too.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you can't complain about the game. You just gotta play it. Oh. Play it, you know, how you feel it. That's how I try to do it.
Okay, and you look back at an amazing career. If it's cool with you, maybe we can go back in time a little bit for a minute.
All right.
And you started off with CIA. You know, describe the CIA Ice Cube. Who were you back then as a person? Did you already sense that there was something up in the air, something huge that you would be a part of?
Nah, not really. Because I thought what I was a part of was huge, you know. Just being able to shit, carry Drake crates and shit to the parties. You know, getting there free every weekend.
Right, and when NWA exploded, did you realize what y'all had done?
After they told us we had a show in Chicago. From then, all of our shows, before that, all of our shows was on the West Coast. But when they told us we had a show in Chicago, with Big Daddy Kane, and, you know, groups like that, I was like, God damn, we really make it.
Right.
And I just felt like we was a large California. That was, you know, that was about to be the extent of it.
Okay. And wasn't it weird to leave the group? I mean, your reasons were understandable, but still, wasn't it awkward feeling to quit a group that you helped build up?
No, because we all came from other groups anyway. You know what I mean? It ain't like we was all NWA from little kids, you know. We was like an all-star group anyway. So leaving it was like, you know, I can't be around somebody who ain't doing me right. I just can't do it no matter what the situation is. So I felt like relief because, you know, my thing was like, let me get away from these dudes before it get physical.
Right.
You know.
And would you like to say something about Eazy-E? I mean, you were mad at him back then, but you made up with him before his death.
Yeah, Eazy-E was, I mean, he's amazing. He's a godfather at what we did. You know, he the one told us to do it. He the one put the money up. He the one put it out on his label. You know, as far as what we was doing was trying to make commercial records that could get played on the radio. But Dre, to make extra money, was doing mixtapes for Swap Meet in L.A. And on the Swap Meets, we'd rap dirty on it and shit and talk about what's going on in the hood. Easy is the one who was like, man, what y'all doing on those mixtapes? Let's do that on the record.
Right.
So.
And if you were... Right. And if you were to relive those days, would you have handled this situation differently?
I don't know, man. I mean, to me, the ball was in their court. It wasn't like I found out that I wasn't getting my money and then I just left. I gave them opportunity to make it right. They would have just made it right. I would have still been in the group. I said nothing about it. But they was like, man, we owe you nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. And when I say they, it was Easy and Jerry Heller. We don't owe you nothing, and we ain't going to pay you. But we don't owe you. So I'm like, you do owe me. It's right here. It's like, nope. So I was like, all right, I'm gone. So the ball was in their court, man, to make it right. And the true thing about it, 6 months after I left the group, they paid me the money.
Oh, for real?
Like, y'all should have just did that 6 months ago and we'd still be a group.
Damn. And you know, people close to Easy, such as Grace and Lil E, have him saying that Easy having AIDS was bullshit and that wasn't the reason of his death. What do you think of that? You didn't really have a reason to worry though when you left because your solo career was just as spectacular. You know, which one is your favorite solo record aside from the new one?
America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, the first one, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
With the Bomb Squad.
How was it to go over to the East Coast? Any anecdotes or memories from those days you'd like to share, like from studio sessions or something? That's probably a hard question, huh?
Yeah.
Still fuck with him?
Yeah, every now and then. You know, he helped me on that Terrorist Prince album.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I mean, you related to him, right?
No, that's Drake's cousin.
Oh, that's Drake's cousin?
Yeah, that's Drake's cousin.
Okay, but you related to Dale? Dale the Funky Homo Sapien?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Okay, but you haven't really worked a lot with him in the past.
He don't like the kind of records I do.
Yeah, you're on a different page, huh? Yeah, I know.
You don't like any rappers that do a video and make money and all that shit.
Right. He got some classic shit out, though. I mean, you know, he's got a good catalog.
Yeah, you know, but ain't nothing fucking with I wish my brother George was here.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
And Pooh. Don't put that together, so.
Right. And do you remember the producer's madness for real? Yeah, I mean, you did some classic shit with them too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hook them back up with Tunes. They were trying to reach out to Tunes, so maybe they could send you some new beats. They got a lot of shit popping.
That'll work.
You know, they out here in Europe.
Yeah.
And, you know, when looking back at songs such as Cave Bitch, do you regret anything that you said?
No. I ain't regret.
But, You
raps are like time capsules, man.
Right.
Time capsules.
But how is the Ice Cube from today compared to the Ice Cube who recorded that song?
Same person. Ain't went nowhere.
Would you put that up? Would you put a song like that out right now?
Yeah.
Do you still perform that song? Okay.
It ain't performing a song, you know, regardless.
Right.
It ain't hitting like that.
Right.
Rock a crowd, like, but,
you know, what I was trying to find out is just that, you know, you were always militant and you were very, you know, you always voiced your opinion. And a lot of people say that, you know, when you get into the corporate world and the business world and, you know, to Hollywood, you can't really say the same shit. Because it's a different place, it's a different kind of people.
Shit, no, it ain't. People. Ain't no different. You know, people get caught up too much in titles. Same people, you know, lawyers and shit was bumping straight out of camp. Just the hood. So, people are people. You
right.
can take it. You know, especially, it's gotta be yourself, man.
Definitely.
Don't worry about it. I can't worry about that.
Definitely.
I can't worry about, you know, doing nothing but being myself.
Right. And, you know, you and Dre were supposed to put out a duo record called Helter Skelter. How many songs were actually recorded for that project?
Nothing.
Not one?
It was on Dre, man. It's all said and done. That record, and the NWA record.
I mean, y'all had that Natural Born Killers, and that album would have been, like, one of the timeless classics, man. At that time, you and Dre?
Yeah, I know. You know, so, it's really on Dre. But, you know, in his defense, at that time, we was trying to pull that record off. Eminem blew through the roof. As soon as Eminem was really trying to, like, settle down a little bit, 50 Cent blew up, so...
But you're talking about the NWA shit, I'm talking about the Helter Skelter, like a 95 or something.
Yeah, after we decided that record was dope to do, Dre started going through his issues with Death Row, so.
Oh, okay. Man.
But it all falls back, really, you know, if the man got time to do it, the man feel inspired, he do it.
So it's all on Dre, huh?
Yeah, it is.
And you know, with Boys in the Hood, it was clear that rapping wasn't your only talent. And when did you start pursuing an acting career seriously?
After I did that movie.
So that's when you really started thinking, you know, I'm gonna be an actor as well.
Yeah. When I, you know, felt like I could pull it off. So.
Right. And looking back, what's your favorite movie that you ever did? I mean, you did a lot of different ones, but...
I mean, Boys in the Hood is my favorite because it was the first. Friday's my favorite because it's the first one that I wrote and produced. And The Players Club is my favorite because it's the first one I directed, so...
Right. Okay, well, that's about it for the question, man. Is there anything else you would like to say? Any last words for the fans?
Yeah, I mean, just thanks for supporting me in all these years. You know, we've been doing it 20 years now. And I got 20 more for you if y'all down.